Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From 90.9 WBUR, this is a special live edition of Radio Boston at WBUR City Space. I'm Tiziana Deering.
And I'm Sharman Sacchetti from WCVB.
We're broadcasting live today from WBUR City Space for a special hour-long debate between the three Democratic candidates for Massachusetts Attorney General. The winner likely will go on to face Republican Jay McMahon, who's running unopposed in the Republican primary.
Now, today's debate is hosted by WBUR, the Boston Globe, and WCVB. The Attorney General is the Chief Law Enforcement Officer in Massachusetts.
And we'll get started in just a moment because there's a lot to cover, but with the candidates' opening statements. But first, we're going to go over some basic rules so that everybody knows just exactly how this is going to go. Candidates will have 1 minute to respond to each question, followed by a 30-second rebuttal unless we call otherwise. We, the moderators, will be able to ask follow-up questions of any candidate's response at our discretion. Those follow-up responses will also be 30 seconds. You will see the timer up on the stage, green at the start, yellow with 15 seconds remaining, and then red when you are out of time.
And for listeners and viewers, there are several ways you can follow along today aside from listening on WBUR. We're also broadcasting a live video feed of today's event. Go to WBUR.org, BostonGlobe.com, or WCVB.com to watch.
As we move to opening statements, each candidate will have 1 minute for opening statements and each candidate will have 1 minute for closing statements. We drew names to ensure this was random before the show, and we will hear first from Shannon Liss Reardon, a labor attorney who has filed suits against a number of large companies, including Uber, Lyft, and Amazon. She's also a former senatorial candidate who ran the Democratic primary in 2020. Shannon Liss Reardon, welcome. Let's hear 1 minute for opening thoughts.
Thank you so much. Thank you, WBUR, for having us here. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Life is not getting any easier for folks in Massachusetts. We need an attorney general who knows how to use the legal system to improve the lives of working people. And most importantly, we need an attorney general who will win in court. That is what I have been doing for more than 20 years. I have brought cases and won big in court that have improved the lives of millions of people. I have taken on some of the largest corporations in America, Amazon, FedEx, and Starbucks, and I've won. I have put hundreds of millions of dollars back in working people's pockets. I am widely recognized as one of the most effective lawyers in America. I'm proud to have the support of the Mass AFL-CIO and more than 50 unions. My name is Shannon Liss Reardon. I will fight for you, and together we will win.
All right, next up, I'd like to introduce Quentin Palfrey, an attorney currently serving as Deputy General Counsel at the United States Department of Commerce. He also served in the Obama administration and was the 2018 Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Quentin, welcome, and you may deliver your opening remarks.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Quentin Palfrey. I've been a practicing lawyer for 20 years, and I'm proud to be endorsed by the Democratic Party in this race. As an assistant attorney general, I sued predatory insurance companies that lied to patients and denied them cancer treatments, and we kicked them out of Massachusetts. Under President Obama, I fought voter suppression and later served in the White House as a senior advisor. And now I'm running for attorney general to stand up against special interests, fight against the Supreme Court's attacks on our civil rights, and stand up for abortion rights, for Medicare for all, for urgent action on the climate crisis. I'll never take special interest money. As a former assistant attorney general, I know we need an attorney general who doesn't have conflicts of interest from millions of dollars of super PAC contributions. We need an AG who can stand up for the people. The attorney general's office is not for sale.
time. And finally, let's hear from Andrea Campbell, former president of the Boston City Council and the first African-American woman to serve in that role. Before that, she worked as legal counsel in both private and public sectors, including serving as deputy legal counsel for Governor Deval Patrick. Andrea Campbell, welcome. The floor is yours for 1 minute.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I jumped into the race recognizing that residents across Massachusetts are struggling and frustrated with government. And what I've been stressing is that we live in the best state in the nation. And I know it because I am living proof. I'm living proof that a girl who grew up in poverty and a family torn apart by incarceration and trauma could turn that pain into purpose. I'm the first in my family to go to college, the first in my family to go to law school. And as an education attorney, as an attorney for Governor Deval Patrick, as general counsel for a regional planning agency, and as a local elected official, I have always sought to make sure every resident in this state has access to the same opportunity I was afforded. I'm blessed to have the honor and support of Attorney General Maura Healey. I will build upon her leadership to make sure the office continues to deliver for families, an education for their children, a living wage, health care, benefits, safe communities, and so much more. Really honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And now we can begin with our questions. This first question is going to be a short one to each of you. I'm going to go straight down the line, beginning with Andrea Campbell. 30 seconds for response, please. No rebuttals. Here's your question. The AG's office has been considered a political stepping stone for decades, not always successfully to that next office, but we've had a number of AGs run, not just Maura Healey, who's currently running for the governor. Why do you want the AG job, and how do you plan to show voters that it's not a next step, it's the job you want? 30 seconds, Andrea Campbell.
This race is personal for me. So I took a leap of faith in this race, recognizing that the Attorney General can do a lot in the context of criminal legal reform. 10 years ago, my twin brother Andre died while in the custody of the Department of Correction at the age of 29 as a result of receiving inadequate health care. This office could have made a difference in that case and many others. So it's not a stepping stone. It's about exercising political courage with a sense of urgency on prison reform and so many other issues affecting families.
Thank you. 30 seconds to you, Shannon Liss-Reardon.
Yes, I have spent more than 23 years fighting and winning for working people. The Office of the Attorney General would be a continuation of the work I've been doing as a private attorney general for years. I have taken on big, bad actors in court, and I've won, and this is a job I was made for.
Thank you. And Quentin Palfrey, 30 seconds.
As a former assistant attorney general, I've seen firsthand how much impact the people's lawyer can have on communities across Massachusetts. I was the first chief of the healthcare division at the time that we were implementing Massachusetts health reform. So we worked hard to make sure that everyone had access to high quality, affordable healthcare. We took on big insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies, and I'm gonna be AG to stand up against special interests, fight for Medicare for all, and make sure that everyone gets
time.
The certain life that
Thank
they deserve.
Thank you, and over to you, Sharman.
All right, let's dig into our first topic, which is the job. The Attorney General is the top lawyer and also law enforcement officer for the state. The Massachusetts Attorney General's office is an advocate, a resource for the people of Massachusetts in many ways, including protecting consumers, fighting fraud and corruption, investigating and prosecuting crime, protecting the environment, workers, civil rights. That's all from the state's website at mass.gov. Now, I want to talk about the current Attorney General, Maura Healey. She has garnered national attention for clashing with the Trump administration, suing them more than 100 times. But her office has not touched the Biden administration. She has not sued the Biden administration once. How would you balance addressing national issues with local issues, and how do you ensure nonpartisan rigor in your choice of cases and issues? We'll start with you, Andrea Campbell.
And this is a 60-second response.
Oh, wonderful. So I would build upon the leadership of Maura Healey. Like I said, really proud to have her support in this race. The constructive feedback I have heard from residents all across this state as far as Berkshire County is they want an AG who, of course, will continue to show up nationally. I think in the context of the Supreme Court, reproductive health care, that's going to be critical, but also to focus here. And that means making sure every family has access to a community, for example, that is safe. I recently had a 15-year-old shot and killed in my neighborhood. The office can do a lot more when it comes to community violence and guns. Climate. There are so many communities, whether it's Beverly, out in Berkshire County, you name it, Holtec, that are feeling the frustration of corporate actors in their communities looking to pollute them. So there's a lot we can do here in the local context to ensure that residents feel the office is accessible to them and really delivering on the promises it can do.
All right. Quentin Palfrey, we'll go to you.
So this is an extraordinary moment in human history. We have a Supreme Court that is undermining our civil rights. We have a democracy that is literally under attack. An armed mob stormed the Capitol to disrupt the peaceful transition of power. And we need an AG who's going to stand up to preserve our civil rights, to stand up against special interests. And one of the things that's been really extraordinary about the people's lawyer is it's been independent. And I think it's really important to have an attorney general who doesn't have conflicts of interest with big businesses, because one of the things that we've seen in the attorney general's office is the ability to take on ExxonMobil and Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family and Walmart. We need an attorney general with the independence to take on those big cases.
All right, Shannon Liss-Reardon.
Yes, the Attorney General's office is an extremely important office. I look forward to expanding on and continuing the critical work that Mara Healy has done. And I plan to be a leader among attorneys general nationwide in the fight against climate change, in protecting our reproductive rights, in taking on making sure that our rights here in Massachusetts are protected. I've spent more than 20 years getting around bad Supreme Court decisions, and we have a whole host of them that we need to get around now. My priorities in this office will focus on the people of Massachusetts. I plan to set up a fund to make sure that people whose wages are stolen get paid back right away without having to wait months or years. I plan to be a fighter for consumer protection. Check out our website. We have a full plan. I will be a fighter for climate change and take on polluters who have profited off of fossil fuels.
I'd like to do a one-sentence follow to each of you on that. So one sentence, just straight down the line, the ratio of local focus versus national focus that's appropriate for the job. Quentin Palfrey.
You absolutely have to do both. As a former assistant attorney general, we took on direct consumer cases, but we also took on big national important things. We cannot choose between them.
Shannon Liss-Reardon.
It will be both, and I have coordinated with attorneys general offices around the country in Massachusetts, California, New York, already, and I will continue to do that. Focus on the people of Massachusetts in coordination with other AGs across the country.
Andrea Campbell.
It must be both. When you think about the Supreme Court in reproductive justice, Massachusetts is a leader, so we have to stand up nationally on a whole host of issues. At the same time, address price inflation, price gouging, public corruption here in Massachusetts. We can do both.
Thank you.
All right, and let's move to public corruption, something that falls certainly under the purview of the Attorney General. When you look at the Attorney General Office's priorities, you don't necessarily see public corruption. That was a quote given to the Boston Globe from former State Attorney General Tom Riley. Now, in her 7 years plus in office, Attorney General Mara Healy has prosecuted zero elected officials, while federal prosecutors have charged four. I should note Healy's office did indict former Republican State Senator Dean Tran last month on firearm theft charges. So, would you do more as Attorney General to prioritize public corruption? And if so, how specifically? Shannon Liss-Reardon.
Yes, thank you. So I am not a politician. I'm not a bureaucrat. I am a lawyer. And the public trust is critical. I have shown through my career, I'm not afraid of anyone. I will take on public officials who abuse the public trust. That is an important element of the Attorney General's role. And I will not hesitate to use the full power of that office to make sure that our public officials, elected officials, do not exploit the public trust.
All right, Quentin Palfrey.
Absolutely, we need to take on public corruption, and it starts with us. This is why I've been so strongly supporting the people's pledge to keep corporate money out of these elections. Andrea Campbell, who's on the stage with me, received $2 million in super PAC support in last year's mayor's race, including large contributions from tech billionaires, from Bain Capital, from Jim Walton, from charter school backers. And we need to avoid those conflicts of interest, and I'd love to know how she plans to deal with matters relating to Walmart, to Netflix, to Bain Capital when they come up to the office. Because as a former assistant attorney general, I've seen that you cannot have conflicts of interest of that type. If you take $250,000 in support from, for example, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, you need to recuse from all cases that relate to that. The same for Walmart, the same for charter school backers, the same for for-profit healthcare companies. Those conflicts
conflicts of interest are going to be a real challenge.
All right.
If Andrea Campbell is
and
the next AG.
And I want to allow Andrea Campbell to respond to that.
30 seconds.
30 seconds for the money piece and then a minute for the public corruption piece.
Yes,
that sounds wonderful. On the money piece, so one thing I will stress, I am really proud of what our campaign has done and created. We've raised close to $1.5 million from the people. I'm working hard every single day to earn their support. Of our money, over 90% come from Massachusetts residents. My opponents, Quentin is receiving taxpayer state money to fund his campaign. Shannon put in $3 million. She will probably put up to $12 million trying to buy this election. I've always been accountable to the people. I will remain accountable to the people.
All right. Let's move on.
We promised Andrea the respond. 1 minute.
Oh, that's right.
So on the public corruption piece, the short answer is yes, absolutely, we can do a lot more. And voters want us to do a lot more, whether it is voters in a small town of Leiden, who during our caucus process was talking about policing reform, what was happening in their public safety agencies in terms of public corruption, other voters really concerned about overtime fraud, misappropriation of funds by state agencies or state employees or public officials trading favors. I've always worked with a sense of courage and exercise courage. That won't change. And frankly, the AG is uniquely positioned in the only office to really take these issues on. So we can't shy away from it. I won't shy away from it. And when you think about whether it's the Department of Correction, other agencies that continue to be a black hole, as a state's attorney, you represent those agencies, but you have tremendous power to leverage, to push them to do and be better, and to hold them accountable. And that means everyone, because no one is above the law.
And Shannon, we want to give you 30 seconds to respond.
Yeah, yes, thank you. I'm very proud and excited about the grassroots support that we've received from across Massachusetts. It's a very cynical view that Andrea has that the people of Massachusetts can be bought. They are going to vote for the attorney general who they think is the most experienced and will fight and win for them. I am beholden to the voters. Andrea's donor list is a who's who of lobbyists for fossil fuel industries, the Koch brothers. I will not be beholden to wealthy donors and special interests. I'm beholden to the people of Massachusetts.
So I'm going to do a quick reset here, and thank you to all of you for the comments that you've made about campaign finance. In your last debate, we hit that subject very heavily, and there are a number of other issues that we want to make sure our listeners and the people in the audience hear. So I'm going to redirect us and move us back into the direction of the job for about 2 more minutes, and then we'll shift. Back to you, Sharma.
All right, we're going to move to the Massachusetts State Police. It is one agency we all know has had its share of scandals. Multiple overtime scandals in recent years, the elimination of Troop E over corruption. Now, a number of troopers have since been charged for overtime abuse. What is one specific thing the AG can and should do today about this? Quentin Palfrey.
So look, the murder of George Floyd and the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict are the most recent reminders that there are two justice systems in America. We imprison too many people for too long for doing too little. Race has too much to do with who ends up in the criminal justice system. I have a 13-year-old son. I have never had to give him the talk that I know that my African-American friends have to give to their teenage boys. We need the AG office to take on criminal justice reform and police accountability and oversight, finally get a handle on the corruption and mismanagement in the state police. If you work for the state police, you deserve to work for an agency that's above reproach. And if you're a citizen of Massachusetts, you deserve to have a state police that is working in your best interest. There's a big difference in this race between me and Shannon Liz Reardon on eliminating qualified immunity for police officers. And I support eliminating qualified immunity and would like to have some discussion on that issue as well.
I'd like to go to Shannon.
Yes, thank you. I've not hesitated to take on powerful interests. And in fact, I have a lawsuit that I filed recently against the state police for violating our newly enacted Paid Family and Medical Leave Act. As Attorney General, I will hold police departments accountable. In fact, I've been working with the ACLU on a transparency project to make sure that police departments are being transparent about their practices, their racial statistics regarding arrests and interactions with the community. We've been doing public records requests for police departments and are about to file a case against one that was not responsive to our record request. So as Attorney General, it is important that I will work with DAs across the state to make sure police departments have the resources they need to have proper training. And I will not hesitate to hold all departments, including the state police, accountable when they violate our laws.
All right, Andrea Campbell.
There's a lot to do in the context of the state police, but not just state police. Let's not forget municipal police departments, too. I'm the only candidate on this stage that has a record of actually delivering on transparency, accountability, and expanding diversity in public safety agencies. I've worked with Governor Baker across the aisle to actually bring in funding into the city of Boston for public safety agencies. I crafted the historic legislation where we now in the city of Boston have the Office of Police Accountability and Transparency. All of these issues, of course, should be dealt with statewide. That's why an attorney general is so special in the context of policing reform and misappropriation and misconduct, because it has the ability to really take the issue statewide. So I would continue my leadership on those issues. And in the context of some of the other funding, I'm going to go back to that because it's important. In this election, there's an opponent on this stage who is attempting to buy the election and who has, I quote, said, "I'm accountable to no one." I am indeed accountable to the people. Every resident can go on OCPF. It's a public website to see exactly where my money comes from. We don't know where hers is coming from.
You're listening to a special edition of Radio Boston, a live one-hour debate between the three Democratic candidates for attorney general. You can listen live on 90.9 WBUR-FM or watch a live video feed at WBUR.org or from our partners in these debates, BostonGlobe.com and WCVB.com. We have a question submitted here from UMass Boston graduate student David Hackett, class of 22. And David wants to know about your approach to the opioid crisis. Our audience will be able to see, we'll all be able to hear.
Given Attorney General Maura Healey's policy of pursuing lawsuits against companies like Purdue Pharmaceuticals and Johnson & Johnson, companies that are contributed and are arguably responsible for perpetuating the current crisis, A, what are your views on the current suits that have been proposed? And B, what novel policies and legal measures do you intend to undertake if elected to the position of Attorney General?
Okay, to keep this tight so we can get to everything, I'm going to ask for 30-second responses, a one word on whether or not you would continue, and then a short sentence on what else you would do. Quentin Palfrey, you go first, 30 seconds.
Absolutely. We have to hold Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family responsible. We're not going to arrest and incarcerate our way out of a war on drugs that has failed, that has led to massive over-incarceration and huge racial disparities. But this is another reason why we need to keep corporate special interest money out of our elections, because you want the AG to be able to stand up against big corporations like Purdue Pharma. And if you have those conflicts, you cannot play that role.
Thank you, Andrea Campbell.
I would continue the leadership of Maura Healey. She wouldn't have endorsed me in this race if she didn't think I was going to take on the Sackler family and other folks who take advantage and profit off the pain of Massachusetts residents. But I'm going to take it a step farther. I think we are too narrowly focused on just the opioid crisis. We need to expand it to talk about mental health, drug abuse, the uptick in alcoholism, which of course is connected to mental health, suicide, depression, anxiety, and so much more. I think the office can be more intersectional in taking on those issues and expanding it to include more residents who are grappling with other pieces.
Thank you. And Shannon Lear-Sweerden, last 30 seconds on this.
Yes, I look forward to continuing and expanding on the important work that Maura Healey has done taking on the pharmaceutical industry for bringing us the pain of the opioid crisis. Purdue Pharma, they may have reached a settlement, but there are many actors out there. There is much more work to be done. This is the type of impact litigation that I have been doing and winning throughout my career. There are many other actors out there, including these fake sober homes that are offering solace to people who are struggling with addiction, but they're actually just exploiting them, taking advantage of them, and providing the care that they've promised.
Thank you.
We have a lot of serious issues on the docket today, for sure. We also want to have a little fun and give people a sense of who you are as people. So with that in mind, the most recent show you binged or movie you watched, Andrea Campbell.
With my husband, Money Heist.
Shannon?
I haven't had much time for TV, but I really loved The Queen's Gambit.
All right.
My three kids and I are watching The Simpsons.
One person from Massachusetts, dead or alive, you'd want to sit down with and have a drink with. Shannon.
I'd like to continue having a drink with Elizabeth Warren.
Quentin Palfrey.
I think Barack Obama. I had great honor to work for him in the White House, and he's one of the most inspirational people I've ever met.
Thank you. Andrea Campbell?
She's not from Massachusetts, but she spends a lot of time on the vineyard. Michelle Obama. I would love to have a drink with Michelle Obama.
Okay, I just now have to put out a public invitation to Barack and Michelle Obama.
Exactly.
My mom worked for Michelle Obama, and we got a chance to...
Hook it up.
All right, and finally, favorite vacation destination? Where would you like to be, Quentin Palfrey?
We've been thinking about this a lot. I love Martha's Vineyard, as long as we're talking about it. Oak Bluffs is one of my favorite places in the world. I'd love to go back.
Andrea Campbell?
A vacation, like if I take my husband away, we're going to an island, we're getting out of Massachusetts, probably Turks and Caicos.
Oh, nice. And you, Shannon?
I love the Berkshires, going to Tanglewood, listening to the music. It's wonderful to be out in Western Massachusetts.
All right. It was fantastic to have that break. I am now going to turn us to a very serious issue, and I want to be mindful of that. We're going to talk about something that has landed squarely in the headlines here this summer, and that is hate. We all saw the images of about 100 masked members of a white supremacy group marching through the streets of Boston over the fourth weekend. In late July, 24 members of a neo-Nazi group, roughly, who protested a drag queen story hour. Last Sunday, they showed up before another drag queen story hour, which then had to be canceled. The U.S. attorney from Massachusetts has opened the End Hate Now reporting hotline. Suffolk County DA's office has added two prosecutors specifically to handle hate crimes. What is the next step the AG's office should take on this front, whether it's before you would serve in that role or after? I'm going to try to get to each person on this. So if we could do 30 seconds so we can do everyone. And Shannon Liss Reardon, I'll start with you.
I've been appalled at the rise of white supremacist groups here in Massachusetts. They have no place here. I was very proud to stand with activists in Jamaica Plain just a couple weeks ago who were protesting these white supremacists who intruded on this this hour. As Attorney General, I will work to make sure that we are kept informed of these groups so that actions are taken to keep our communities safe. I would require that my staff brief weekly on this.
Quentin Palfrey.
So when I was thinking about running for lieutenant governor a few years ago, there are these awful events in Charlottesville, and I remember seeing this small group of students, some were white and some were black. They were standing in front of a sign that said, "Students Against White Supremacy." And all around them, there were people holding tiki torches. Some of the folks in the crowd were members of the Ku Klux Klan. There were some swastikas. And I asked myself, what are we going to tell our children and our grandchildren that we did in this moment when our American values were so obviously under attack? And I think that we need to stand up and we need to fight back.
Thank you.
And I think the AG's office is one of the leaders on that
issue. Thank you. Andrea Campbell.
I too, have been appalled. I've met with members in the Jewish community. Rep. Liz Miranda, her campaign office opening, had these neo-Nazis show up. I find them to be cowards, obviously marching in the city of Boston with masks and hoods on their faces. There's a lot the AG can do. One is just on the basic reporting. And I think you work with the next U.S. attorney to make sure that we're reporting the data, not just the stories, especially in small pockets where it's hard to get this information. And then you prosecute these folks aggressively and then do the work of really educating our people in the schools in terms of different cultures and backgrounds.
And I'll stay with you. This is a 60-minute. Please don't. This is a 60-second response, Andrea Campbell. And this is about information and intelligence. The group that marched over the 4th of July weekend, they had 31 members arrested in Idaho the previous month as they prepared to disrupt a gay pride event there. There was concern after that event that the city was caught on its heels. At a press conference shortly after, the FBI special agent in charge here, Joseph Bonavolanta, talked about wariness about surveilling groups and tracking their activities if they haven't committed a violent crime or criminal acts out of concerns for the First Amendment. So how, as AG, do you balance those concerns? You have 60 seconds, Andrea Campbell.
You can absolutely balance them. And our U.S. Attorney, Rachel Rollins, is doing that right now. The district attorney, the same. It's creating spaces for folks to be able to report what they're seeing on the ground, to be able to call a hotline, to call various government agencies to report what they're seeing. We're seeing the high-profile events, the marching in the streets, but we know little things are happening in various communities across the state, including in some of our smaller rural communities where folks are concerned that they're not getting enough attention in those communities with respect to the uptick in hate crimes. So there's a whole bunch of ways in which we can gather that information without violating anyone's First Amendment rights. And then working across the country, statewide and across the country, to track this information, to collect that data, to be able to go after these individuals is critically important. And if we can work with other AGs on climate, the opioid crisis, we absolutely can work on discrimination, hate crimes, and anything else that threatens the safety of our residents here in Massachusetts.
Thank you. What do you think? Should we go 60 seconds for each on this
one? Sure, I think so.
Okay, so Quentin Palfrey, 60 seconds.
So when I was in the White House under President Obama, I had a very
high-level security clearance, and I was asked to be in an interagency group on countering violent extremism. And I can't get into what we talked about there, but I will tell you that I have direct experience using the criminal and civil laws, as well as our intelligence information, to take on some of these really troubling challenges. It really breaks my heart to see these white supremacists marching. I'm proud to have the support of the Bay State Stonewall Dems, and standing up for LGBTQ rights is going to be a major priority for me. I do have concerns about some of the tools that law enforcement wants to use in terms of surveillance. I care a lot about our civil liberties and our civil rights, but I agree with Andrea that we can crack down on violent extremists, crack down on white supremacists, and protect our civil liberties. We have to do both.
Okay, Shannon Liss-Reardon, 60 seconds for you.
Yes, it is extremely important that we balance the concerns, privacy rights and First Amendment rights, with the needs to keep our community safe. I'm proud to have worked with the ACLU. I would work with organizations like the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, who have worked on these issues, who have creative ideas about how to ensure the proper balancing of rights. I'm the only one on this stage who has actually taken on these issues from a legal perspective. Just a few months ago, I sued a Georgia school system who was allowing white students to engage in incredibly racist behavior, wearing Confederate flags, reenacting the murder of George Floyd, using incredibly racist, hateful speech. And then when black students tried to organize a counter-protest, they were shut down by the school administration. I sued them in federal court. I am the one on this stage who knows how to take these issues on in court, and that's what I'll do as Attorney General, and we will win.
It sounds like there are ways to track these groups. However, one of their most recent attacks, it appears, is eluding this. We are seeing them randomly marching in Boston. They are keeping a lower profile and then suddenly appearing en masse. How do you balance that? How are you able to track these groups when it seems like they're doing more to stay underground and then appear in an effort to raise alarm?
Let's do 30 seconds response there. Who do you want to start with?
Andrea Kemmel.
I think this is why Rollins launched the hotline that she put out, was to create a easy way for residents to report what they're seeing. What are you seeing in your community? What are you seeing behind closed doors in certain conversations or certain clubs, whatever else, so that law enforcement, public officials, the AG's office, the U.S. Attorney's office can indeed track some of this activity before it, of course, shows up on the streets of Boston. And I'm quickly just going to say, when my opponent suggests she's the only one to take on these issues,
I'm sorry, but that's time.
I'm a person of color.
That's time.
I don't have the luxury not to. And so I just want to name
that.
That's
time. Thank you. Shannon?
Yes. Well, I think it's very important that we stay in close touch with our communities. I think the Attorney General's office needs to be accessible to people across Massachusetts so these types of incidents can be reported promptly and we can be keeping on top of it. And I am the only one on the stage who's taken on these types of issues in court. I'm the only one who has filed cases that have fought race discrimination. I got more than 50 black police officers and firefighters hired across Massachusetts by a case that I won in court for the state's discriminatory use of civil service exams.
Quentin Palfrey.
So being a class action lawyer is very different from being an assistant attorney general. And this is one of the examples of why it's really important to have, as the attorney general, someone with direct experience as a government lawyer to crack down on these kinds of problems. And, you know, I hear Shannon say over and over again, she's the only practicing lawyer. I've been a practicing lawyer for 20 years. I was an assistant attorney general. I was the acting general counsel of the Commerce Department, led a team of 400 lawyers. I've been on Supreme Court briefs. And I really think that disrespects the lawyers
much.
In the office.
So, no, I'm going to stop you there because
AGs
I'm really trying to hold us to our time.
I'd like to
thank
respond.
You.
I was mentioned.
All right. 30 seconds.
You have 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I am the only practicing lawyer on this stage this morning. I filed a complaint on behalf of bartenders who had their tips stolen at the U.S. Open PGA this spring in Brookline. Andrea Campbell has worked less than 5 years practicing law in a handful of short-term legal jobs, including her longest legal job was 2 years at a notorious union-busting firm that represents management against working people. I have fought for working people for more than 23 years, and I've won for them, and that is why I'm the most qualified
30 seconds response for Andrea Campbell, and then I am moving us on.
I've started and worked my entire career practicing law. Before I actually went to law school, I started off as a paralegal. And then post-law school, I represented children for free and education cases. I've worked as an attorney for Governor Deval Patrick. If Maura Healey did not think I had the adequate or requisite legal experience, she would not have endorsed me in this race. I maybe haven't made millions on class actions on the backs of workers, but I've done the work of really delivering for residents on the issues they care about and where they need government officials and lawyers to really step up.
So I lied. We're a little bit behind on time, and actually I'm going to give 30 seconds to Quentin Pelfrey because we really do try to be balanced here. 30 seconds to you, Quentin.
Yeah, so two things. One is one of my opponents mentioned my receiving public financing. I am very proud to be a clean elections lawyer. I'm the only one who's accepted the public financing rules to limit my own spending. I'm the only one who's also signed the People's Pledge along with Shannon to keep outside money out of this election. And I didn't get an answer from Andrea Campbell on the question of whether she plans to recuse from these cases, $2 million worth of super PAC funding. And I really think that the people of Massachusetts, before they vote, need to know, is she going to recuse herself
stop
from
you
those
there.
Cases?
And you're killing me because I am going to move on. I do want to note this is a conversation that has happened elsewhere. It's not that it's not important, but we have other subjects to move on to. You are listening to a special edition of Radio Boston. It's a live one-hour debate between the three Democratic candidates for Attorney General. And you can listen live to it on 90.9 WBUR-FM or watch a live video feed at WBUR.org or from our partners at BostonGlobe.com and WCVB.com. We are going to move on. Back to Sharman.
All right. And we are going to be talking about something that's on everyone's mind. I certainly cover it every day. The T. We are looking at unprecedented shutdowns, 30-day total shutdown for the Orange Line, nearly a month on the Green Line extension, both set to start this month. Governor Baker said last week, with 30 days of 24-hour repair access, that would essentially mean 5 years of what 5 years of repairs, what would have taken 5 years. So the Orange Line has an average of more than 100,000 riders a day. Many of them come from low-income households. There will be shuttle buses, though we're still waiting to hear the details of that. And it would undoubtedly add time to commute. So what role, if any, should the AG play in making sure people are able to get to where they need to go in a reasonable amount of time? Let's start with you, Shannon.
60 seconds.
Yes, very concerned about the state of our public transportation system. We need to put resources in to improve it. That is why I am supporting the Fair Share Amendment to make sure that our transportation system, as well as education system, has sustained funding to not just do quick fixes, but keep them going for the long run. And we deserve to know exactly what the T is going to be doing during this 30-day shutdown. They haven't even posted what their punch list is. We don't even know whether this is going to create the fixes that will make this transportation service safe and available for residents. And also, the shuttle buses, which we don't even have the details on, are going to be under huge strain. So that is why I have called on the buses that connect to the Orange Line need to be made free during this time. I believe in free public transportation more generally, but at least at this time, those buses need to be made free and people need to be made aware of what is going to be done.
Time. That's time. Quentin Pelfrey, what should the AG's role be here?
So I agree with a couple of things that Shannon just said. One, we need a fair share amendment. We need to ask the people at the very top to pay a little bit more so we can invest in transportation and in education. We shouldn't have Orange Line trains on fire. Also, this is a civil rights crisis. The Attorney General is the chief civil rights officer. The Orange Line represents or serves some of the poorest communities in Boston. So there's a civil rights aspect to this. We need fare free transit. I'm proud to have the support of Sierra Club and 350 Mass in this race. We need to invest in our transportation system. And finally, this is a failure of the Baker administration. I know around here nobody ever criticizes Governor Baker, but going back 20 years, he is responsible for the funding mess that the T is in. And this is on him when there are trains literally on fire.
All right, Andrea Campbell.
I too support the Fair Share Amendment and look forward to continuing the campaign in support of that, and voters get out to vote. I again, this, I think, is a unique opportunity. As we talk about the T, I live in Mattapan. It's currently a transit desert. I grew up taking the Orange Line. The fact that the T continues to get worse for the next generation is absolutely unacceptable. But this is an opportunity where an attorney general coming together with the next governor, who will definitely be Maura Healey, we have an opportunity to really tackle these issues in partnership. And we've talked about that. There's a way in which both offices can work together to ensure adequate funding. On the funding and contracts piece, I actually think an attorney general needs to step up when it comes to meeting their diversity requirements. There are a lot of contracts that the T puts out that should be going to women and people of color and small business owners. That, I think, is a unique role for the AG's office that doesn't usually get talked about in the conversation of the T. And then work with our next governor to ensure we have a high-quality T service in every community across the Commonwealth, including in pockets in Western Mass.
That's time. We know the Federal Transit Administration has stepped in. We're awaiting the report shortly. A man, of course, was dragged and killed along the Red Line train in April. The FTA has already made safety recommendations. This is only the second time the FTA has stepped in on local issues like this, the first being in Washington, D.C. in 2015. How did Massachusetts let it get to the point where the FTA had to step in? Specifically, who dropped the ball? Let's start with you, Shannon.
It's a travesty what the lack of diligence and maintenance that we have had in our public transportation system. And something that I can do as Attorney General is make sure that rules and laws are being followed. And I'm particularly concerned about the outsourcing of much of the work that the T has done. The T has plenty of very knowledgeable workers who understand the system, and bringing in the federal government to try to fix this is not the answer. That's going to cause even more delays and folks who don't know our system. We need to support our workers who are there, make sure that they are paid fairly and have good benefits and have the support and the funding they need to make our public transportation system what it needs to be for all the people of Massachusetts.
Quentin Palfrey, who dropped the ball?
This is Governor Baker's fault, and it's been Governor Baker's fault for almost 20 years. But it's also a fault of the Beacon Hill culture that doesn't work very well. We have a Beacon Hill that is the least transparent of any state government. We have an establishment in Massachusetts that is too cozy. And we need an attorney general who is going to be independent both of corporate interests and of that establishment interest. We need an attorney general who can stand up to Beacon Hill, can oversee the T, can oversee the state police, and can stand up for people and for workers. And you cannot have influence from either Beacon Hill insiders or corporate donors if you're going to take on those battles for the people of Massachusetts.
Andrea?
I go back to, frankly, working with our next governor. I don't like to actually blame folks. At the end of the day, the problems are what they are right now. Residents, I think, are so frustrated with government and, of course, what's happening in Washington, D.C. They want leaders who are going to lead and deliver for them with a sense of urgency and with immediacy. And I think in the context of the T, clearly there are enough examples for us all to know it's a mess, it's a problem. And I think this is an opportunity for the next governor working with the next attorney general, which I have already put out in the universe, will be Maura and myself, working together to make sure the T is adequately funded, that workers there are protected and safe. Obviously, what happened in Jamaica Plain is a travesty. In addition to that, making sure that pockets where transit deserts exist, that we are expanding upon that. We're also being innovative as we're pushing for the T to get better. There are some innovative solutions we can do to help people solve their transportation issues. I did that as a city councilor in Boston. And of course, making sure that we have the most high-quality system in the
nation.
I'd
like to ask a follow-up. Is that okay? So Quentin Palfrey, coming back to you, you said the buck stops with Governor Baker. Is there a prosecutorial dimension that the AG's office ought to be considering, either with the administration or the MBTA, given where we are with the T? And I'll give you 30 seconds for that.
Absolutely. We got to look into how we got to this place. People are actually getting harmed. As Andrea mentioned and as I mentioned, this is something we need to get to the bottom of, and we need the AG to look into it independently. It's also why my federal government experience is so valuable here. In addition to being a former assistant attorney general, I also worked at a very high level in both the Obama and in the Biden administrations, and I'm going to be able to navigate those relationships to deal with some of these really important
important issues where the federal and the state governments need to work together.
You're listening to a special edition of Radio Boston live from WBUR City Space. It's a debate between the three Democratic candidates for Massachusetts Attorney General. It's sponsored by WBUR and our partners at the Boston Globe and WCVB. We have with us former Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell, Labor Attorney Shannon Liss-Riordan, and Quentin Palfrey, who has served in the Biden and Obama administrations. We're broadcasting live on 90.9 WBUR and streaming live video on WBUR.org, bostonglobe.com, and WCVB.com.
All right. Following the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Attorney General Healey put out a warning for consumers about crisis pregnancy centers. It read in part, most CPCs are not licensed medical facilities. CPCs are not typically staffed by licensed doctors or nurses, even though some people who work at CPCs may try to look the part, for example, by wearing a white coat. She also pointed out that because they aren't licensed medical facilities, they don't have to follow patient privacy laws or follow codes of ethics or standards of care that govern healthcare professions. There are just under 30 CPCs in Massachusetts. Nationwide, they outnumber abortion clinics by about 3-1. Do you think the AG's warning goes far enough? And if not, what else could the AG and should the AG do about CPCs? This question is for all three of you, and you each have 30 seconds, Quentin.
We have to crack down on crisis pregnancy centers. As an assistant attorney general, I used unfair and deceptive trade practices laws 93A to crack down on businesses that lied to consumers. That's what these crisis pregnancy centers are doing. We should use both civil and criminal laws to make sure that when crisis pregnancy centers and others are making representations to people seeking abortion care, that they're doing it truthfully. And I think that there are a lot of instances where we need to crack down on that. So we need to do more on this issue.
Thank you, Shannon.
So I have been an advocate for abortion rights and reproductive rights going back to my college days, and I worked at the Center for Reproductive Law and Policy supporting abortion rights across the country. Crisis pregnancy centers in Massachusetts are, I believe, violating Chapter 93A. As Attorney General, I will investigate and bring cases against these centers to make sure that they are not taking advantage of people who are in a very difficult time making decisions about what to do with their reproductive lives.
Andrea?
There's a lot that the AG's office is currently doing, and they're prioritizing this. And I think using consumer protection statutes and, of course, if necessary, using a criminal statute to go after these crisis centers that, of course, purport to be places to help folks who have to make a difficult choice. I'm really honored to have the endorsement of Planned Parenthood Action Fund in this race. They usually do not get involved in primaries because they know I will take on these crisis centers and, of course, make sure everyone in this state has legal access to reproductive health care and really close those deserts that exist, especially in Western Mass.
Okay, so we've just been through hate and the tea and crisis pregnancy centers, so let's take a little break and have a little fun again. I'm going to ask you a couple of the questions that, for reasons that I swear are beyond me, are particularly exercising for our listeners. So the first one, Andrea, are you hot coffee or iced coffee?
I am hot, but I drink iced coffee.
All right, and Shannon? Oh, that was just outstanding. Shannon.
I couldn't help myself.
I proudly get my iced coffee from Union Coffee Shops in the summer, and in the winter months, hot coffee.
Hot coffee. And Quentin, how about you?
I drink iced coffee year-round, but I drink hot coffee, too. I drink too much coffee on the whole.
All right. So the other one that seems to really exercise people, Andrea, I'll go to you again. Talk to strangers on the T. Do not talk to strangers on the T.
Talk to strangers. At the end of the day, it's COVID isolation. People are feeling lonely. Even if you don't talk, smile at people, right? People need a good smile in this moment in time. So yes.
Quentin, how about you? You smiler, talker, all of the above.
Yeah, I like Andrea's idea of the smiling, but I'll tell you, I keep to myself most of the time.
And how about you, Shannon?
Yeah, no, I've just loved this campaign going around Massachusetts, talking to folks everywhere. And I have a smile on, and if people want to talk, I talk with them. I enjoy hearing what people are out and about doing, what they're up to,
okay,
what they're thinking about.
Thanks so much. All right, so on to our final topic of the day today. And obviously, there are 8 million topics that we didn't get to. We
get an hour. So we're doing what we can here. And I'd like to spend just a couple minutes on climate. I'm going to ask different questions of different people. I'm going to start with Andrea Campbell here. The Massachusetts Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs recently published the Clean Energy and Climate Plan. And that's a strategy for a state to hit its emissions goals, but which is cut by 50% by 2030 compared to 1990 levels, cut to zero by 2050. Do you think that's achievable, and what role can and should the AG play? 60 seconds.
An AG has a critical role to play in these issues, and our current AG, Mora, has a national reputation of taking on issues of climate. I would build upon her leadership. I'm really honored to have the support and endorsement of the Environmental League Action Fund. And why? In that meeting, I stress we can indeed reach these goals, but we have to be more intentional in going into communities of color to get them to understand the importance of climate justice and environmental justice, to say it is about jobs, it's about public health outcomes, asthma rates, you name it, heat waves. In addition, going into our rural communities that also sometimes feel left out of this conversation to remind them of the same things. If we can be intersectional and bringing people together, we can solve this issue. And at the same time as we're moving to clean energy, how do we give households the resources they need to be able to green their homes so their utility bills go down and not up? And so, of course, it's not on the backs of these communities that feel left out of the conversation. So there's a lot we can do, along with taking on bad actors, not just ExxonMobil, PFAS,
Others. So I'm going to give you each the other two 30 seconds to pick up on any threads you'd also like to emphasize here. Quentin, you're next.
So I'm proud to have the support of the Sierra Club and 350 Mass in this race. What we do now or fail to do is going to determine what kind of life our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren live. And every level of government, from the international community to Congress to the Baker administration, has failed to meet the urgency of the moment. We need the Attorney General's office to make the climate crisis one of the highest possible priorities in all of our work. And so I've issued the suggestion of a day one climate memorandum to
thank
tell
you. Thanks. I appreciate that. Shannon Liss Reardon, you're up. 30 seconds.
Yes, thank you. I plan to be the leading attorney general across the country in our fight against climate change. I will take on the big polluters in court, and I plan to use the penalties we'll recover from those legal battles to set up a green fund that will fund clean energy projects, environmental justice project. We've got some good laws on the books now, but laws don't enforce themselves. We need a seasoned attorney general who knows how to take them on in court and enforce them.
Okay, so 60-second question next to you, Quentin Palfrey, and then the other two candidates will have 30 seconds to pick up the ball. To meet the goals that we have, the state says that by 2025, we need 200,000 electric vehicles on the road, 15,000 public charging stations. 2030, you hit 900,000 EVs, 75,000 public charging stations. Right now, we're at 51,000 EVs, and we have to quadruple that in the next 3 years. Do we have both the physical and the regulatory infrastructure that we need to make that happen? And if not, what would you do about it? 60 seconds.
No, we do not. The climate bill that's working its way through Congress is actually transformational. I spend a lot of my time beating up on Congress, but this is going to be a big deal, particularly with respect to electric vehicles. The work that Senators Barrett and Representative Roy are doing at the state level is also going to help. But what we do now or fail to do is going to determine what kind of life we live, and we need to move very urgently towards clean and renewable energies. That means taking on these utility companies. It means standing up against fossil fuel interests, and it means investing in clean energy solutions like not only electrification of vehicles, but also buildings, cleaning up the grid, and cracking down on fossil fuel infrastructure.
So Shannon Liss Reardon, for your 30 seconds, if you could emphasize the weakest spot that needs to be shored up, 30 seconds.
I mean, there's so much that we need to do to make sure that we're going to get to where we need to be on our climate goals. One thing in particular that I am certain to be focused on as Attorney General is to make sure that corporate America doesn't use this greening that we need to do of our economy as an excuse to take away good-paying jobs with good benefits. So I will work with labor unions, I will work with environmental groups to make sure that everyone is at the table as we are moving forward to a green future and ensure that this green future comes with good jobs, good benefits, and good training.
And Andrea Campbell, 30 seconds for you.
We clearly have a lot more work to do in the context of infrastructure, building out infrastructure to meet those goals with respect to electric cars. Obviously, we want to expand the conversation because as you go into certain pockets in certain communities, they're not talking about electric cars. They can't afford a regular car. Or the T is breaking down, so they have no transportation whatsoever. And so I think it's how do we, of course, push to reach those goals, which is really important, but expand the conversation in every setting we're in so folks see themselves in the climate justice conversation, which is why I'm proud to have the endorsement of Senator Markey with respect to that intentionality.
So we've got time for 30 seconds each. What do you think?
All right.
You want to ask a 30-second follow-up for each?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to stick with climate. I'd like to ask specifically, what is one thing you think regarding climate that you would use?
Well, she didn't get her 60 seconds.
Did I skip you? Yes, I'm sorry.
Just
Shannon.
Well, I think I got a 30, but
oh, you did.
No, you go ahead and tell me.
That's it. Back to you, Charmin.
Ask.
And we are nailing it on evenness, so we're going to stick with this. Charmin, go ahead.
All right. So the one thing that you would do, the one specific thing you would do in the AG's office on climate.
Is this for me?
Yes.
Yes. So I am excited to take on and continue and expand on the important work that Mara Healy has done, taking on corporations like Exxon, who have lied to us for decades about their impact on climate change. I will take on other big polluters. Exxon is not the only one. There is more work to be done. This is the type of high-stakes impact litigation that I have been doing and winning for the last 20 years, and I look forward to the opportunity to fight for the people of Massachusetts and work hand in hand with attorneys general across the country to make sure that Massachusetts is and continues to be a leader in fighting climate change.
Thanks. We want 30 seconds on these. Quentin Palfrey is next.
So I'm going to fight the hypothetical and say, look, climate has to be a priority for every part of the AG office. We have to sue polluters using civil and criminal law. We need to oversee utilities that are too cozy. DPU is too cozy with the utilities. We need to take on environmental justice because the environmental crisis is a civil rights crisis. We need to use the bully pulpit to call for a Green New Deal, fare free transit, carbon pricing, and investments in clean energy. We need to use the bully pulpit to fight against Holtec and Peabody Peaker plant and the compressor station.
And Andrea Campbell. I've got a clock to hit.
Take the conversation on the road. So get out of the office, which is in downtown Boston. And if you live in central Western Mass, good luck trying to get to it, especially if you don't have access to T or commuter rail. And so I do think it's important that that bureau get out into communities. I know they want to do that, to hear from communities of color and rural communities, so they're part of the conversation. And also take on the bad actors, whether it's Holtec, Varian. Focus here locally on the bad actors, along with, of course, the ExxonMobils.
Okay, I'm going to move us quickly. We're going straight into closing statements. We drew names for the sequence. Andrea Campbell, 60 seconds.
Thank you for having me. And of course, thank you to all my supporters who are in this space. I'm really proud because we are building a people-powered grassroots campaign. And I'm working for it. My entire life, I've always worked. I had a childhood, as many of you know, filled with incredible instability, a lot of loss. All of my biological parents are deceased. All of my biological grandparents are deceased, along with my twin brother. I've always fought for those who feel left out and left behind. That will not change as Attorney General. I'm proud to have the endorsement of Mara Healy, but I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm going to continue to get out here, not to buy the election with millions I don't have, but to work to build a grassroots operation that responds to the needs of constituents and to make sure the Attorney General's office under my leadership delivers for residents all across the state. I hope to earn your support and vote on September 6th. Join team Andrea, andreacampbell.org.
Thank you. Next is Quentin Palfrey.
Thank you to the moderators and to Shannon and Andrea for a great debate. I loved working as Assistant Attorney General because I saw firsthand how much impact the people's lawyer can have. But being Attorney General is a big job, and it would be a hard job for someone to take on as their first job in government or their first job of this kind in government. In the Biden administration, I led a team of almost 400 lawyers in a 50,000-person department with a $12 billion budget. And I'll be ready on day one to take on the big challenges we face, fight for abortion rights, urgent climate action, Medicare for all. As a clean elections candidate, I won't have conflicts of interest. I'll fight against special interests and stand up for the people of Massachusetts. That's why the Massachusetts Democratic Party endorsed me. This Attorney General's office is not for sale.
Okay, 60 seconds for Shannon Liss Reardon.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. This has been a wonderful debate. I know that the job of Attorney General is an extremely important job, and as I've been out there campaigning these last 8 months, I have heard from voters across Massachusetts, and I know that what they want is a seasoned, experienced lawyer leading the Attorney General's office who knows how to fight in court and win for them. That is what I've been doing for more than 23 years, widely recognized as one of the most effective lawyers in the country. I ask all of the listeners out there and the voters of Massachusetts to please put my resume side by side with each of the candidates in this debate, in this race, and ask yourself, who would you hire to be your lawyer? Because this is the job of the lawyer for the people of Massachusetts. I am proud to have the support of the AFL-CIO and more than 50 unions representing more than 500,000 working people across Massachusetts. My name is Shannon Liss Reardon. I look forward to serving as your next Attorney General.
All right.
I will fight for you, and
that's
together we will win.
All the time that we have for today. I want to thank all three Democratic candidates for Attorney General, Andrea Campbell, Shannon Liss Reardon, and Quentin Palfrey. A special thanks to WCVB for co-sponsoring today's debate, and Sharman Sacchetti for co-hosting today. Also to our other partner, the Boston Globe. And thanks to the audience here on air at WBUR On Live and here at WBUR City Space. Don't forget to vote on September 6th. And you can listen back to the full debate on our websites of all the partners, WBUR.org, RadioBoston.org, BostonGlobe.com, and WCVB.com. And again, don't forget to vote on September 6th. How'd you think it went?
I think it went well.
All right.
I think it went well.
Thanks all for joining us. I'm Tiziana Deering. That is Radio Boston for today. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. This is 90.9 WBUR Boston, 89.1 WBUH Brewster, and 92.7 WBUA Tisbury.